Each year, the Lotus Festival of World Music reaches out into the local schools with a program titled Lotus Blossoms. Luann Holliday, the festival's assistant director, spoke with WFIU's David Wood about this year's visiting artists.
One is an individual artist named Paul Taylor. He's Australian. He's a native Australian. He's a didgeridoo player and a storyteller. He lives in Wyoming, and he's lived there for the last 10 years, but he works with and is mentored by an Aboriginal artist named Bill Harney. And actually, Paul and Bill Harney will be back for the Lotus Festival. So actually, that's something that nobody else knows until this moment. The other artist, which is actually a group, is a trio named Los Llaneros, and they play music of the grasslands of Colombia and Venezuela called the Llanos. And it's basically Latin American cowboy music. And they didn't have any actual public components. They were all in schools, and then they did a visit to an IU class. Then Paul did a do-it-yourself didgeridoo workshop at Collins that was packed, and he taught people how to make didgeridoos out of PVC and play them. And he talked about circular breathing. Mm-hmm. Coming up at the end of the month is Sparky and Rhonda Rucker. Their specialty is African-American folklore and music. Sparky Rucker is a really good blues guitarist and folk singer and historian and folklorist, actually. And he knows some people in ethnomusicology on campus, and so he has good ties to the IU community. And they're going to be going into schools. They're going to be doing a noon talk at the Archives of Traditional Music.
Rubens trained in wreck. It broke old Rubens' neck. You got to hear the whistle blow 100 miles. Oh, Lordy me, oh, Lordy my, you can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. Blow!
Yeah, so those are our key artists that are doing Lotus Blossoms this year. And between those three groups or individuals, we will have gotten to about 10,000 kids in about 6 counties by the time March is done. So it's Lotus Blossoms reaches as big an audience as the festival, but it's out of sight of the general public because we take artists directly to schools. And a lot of these schools are rural and what, you know, on grant applications are described as underserved populations. They don't, with the current economic climate, there isn't a whole lot of money to do a lot with music and arts in school, and much less multicultural music and arts. And so that's what we're doing with Lotus Blossoms, is getting these really interesting, really high-level educator performers whose abilities as performers are matched by their abilities to communicate with young kids. And we take those directly into schools so that all the school has to do is open up their gym or auditorium. We come in, and the artist does their thing. So.
What towns are these schools in, or what schools?
Last week we went, in addition to schools in Bloomington, we focus on elementary schools, although there are occasionally high schools, but we went out to Owen Valley High School, Eastern Green Elementary, Helmsburg Elementary in Brown County, Martinsville South Elementary, three schools in Bedford. So we'll be taking artist out into Owen County again with Sparky and Rhonda. We also took Paul Taylor to Stonebelt. And we reach, it's probably maybe within a 60-mile radius we're able to do, because the artist itineraries usually include a performance at a school in the morning. Sometimes we'll fit in a class visit around midday, and they'll, you know, have a very short time to scarf down some food and stoke, and then they'll do an afternoon performance. And all of our artists who come for Lotus Blossoms, their focus is on getting to schools, but then we contract with them to do one or two public events.
How long ago did Lotus Blossoms originate?
Well, Lotus Blossoms actually grew out of the festival, out of an event that we had embedded in the festival from its earliest days. This year, the festival is in its 15th year. And it started in 94, and I believe my memory is getting rusty, but in 95 or 96, we started what we called the World Bazaar, which was aimed at young people. And it was structured for 2 days. On the Friday, and this was during festival weekend, and this was at a time when the festival itself was small enough that we could handle these two things at the same time. On the Friday, we bussed in fourth graders from the Monroe County area, and it was just open to them. And we worked in shifts so that, you know, we didn't have 1,000 kids all at once. So they spent the day in this environment where there was a lot of multicultural, hands-on stuff and experiences. And from the beginning, we worked with educators in the school system, but also people from the IU campus who had ties to international programs and people in the community, like the Arab American Society, people who wanted to get out there and get information to kids about different cultures and also different kinds of arts and folk expressions and that kind of thing. So we did that on a Friday, and then on Saturday it was opened up to the public. And we did that for several years until the festival itself got complicated enough that it was sort of unsustainable for us to try to do these two things at once. And then ISTEP landed in the fall. And it became a burden on teachers to make room for even one day of a field trip when they had to deal with testing and test preparations. And so we made the decision to move our educational outreach in the spring and at the same time expand it, because we weren't able to do any of the school visits during the festival because, it was just not possible. So in 2001, we moved our educational outreach, explicit outreach, into the spring and called it Lotus Blossoms. And we were able to move that bazaar. We just relocated it as sort of the anchor event for our outreach, and then built basically several weeks of taking artists into schools around that. So we've been doing this version of our outreach since 2001. It's great to have these artists from different cultures and countries, but even when we have artists who, like Sparky and Rhonda Rucker, who aren't from outside the country but who represent a very distinct cultural tradition from the U.S., he said that kind of thing is just as valuable because for not all the kids, but for a good many of the kids, having somebody, say, come from the East Coast may be just like having somebody come from Europe or Africa, because for a lot of kids, that, you know, just that different cultural experience from within our own borders can be profound. And I tend to take for granted, because I work for an organization that does this world music thing, and I listen to this stuff all the time. And I try to not take it for granted, but I do, because I work in an office where I get to hear this stuff all the time. And it's good to be reminded that things that I don't think of as that unusual anymore, still, they are. They're new and different for a young Bloomington, Indiana audience, maybe.